All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right, what's happening, people? Welcome to Fitness Education Online. I'm your host, Jono, and I've got an awesome guest on the line this week, all the way from Greystanes in Sydney. It's Manny Laris from Body Strong TC. Manny, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jono. Thanks for having me.
No, excited to have you on. From what I can see, you do quite a few things over there in at Body Strong at Greylands. Do you want to kind of break down the overall picture? What I know we're going to be speaking specifically about kids today, but before we get into that, what do you guys do over there?
Yeah, so our studio is located in Greystanes. It's funny because a lot of people don't know where that is. Are you from Sydney, Jono?
I am. I've got an idea where it is.
I know, but a lot of people don't know where Greystanes is. So yeah, I'm going to try to get us back on the map.
Yeah, we'll get nice. Give the listeners whereabouts is Greystanes.
So it's about 5-10 minutes. So it's out west, but it's about 5-10 minutes outside of Parramatta.
Awesome.
So yeah, so it's not in Wooptoop.
Yeah. Awesome. And what do you guys do there? Body Strong.
Yeah. So in terms of what we do, we actually do quite a lot of things. So essentially, we're a group training / personal training facility. So just a boutique facility. I'll run through like our services. So we do personal training, group training. We do teens programs, kids programs, online personal training. Have I forgotten anything? Oh, reform of Pilates. We started doing that this year. That's a big part of it. So I don't know. That slipped my mind, but it's actually a big part of it. And we also have gym access as well. So we there's quite a few branches there.
Wow. How many members you got in total amongst all those kind of programs?
Look, I should have that exact number like on hand, but it's like well over 200. I just don't have the exact number, but well over 200. Like when you combine it across all those programs, probably hitting close to 300.
Okay. And how many trainers, staff you got there?
Good question. That keeps changing in terms of we adding on, not people necessarily leaving. I got to preface that. I got to watch what I say. But there's at least six or seven of us, and we have another 8 to 9 coming on in the coming weeks.
Oh wow, that's a big influx immediately.
Big jump.
Yeah.
It is.
Good New Year's or something.
Because we're in the process of opening up another studio.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually in the process of opening up another Pilates studio. This will be my first Pilates studio, official studio. I can't give away too much just now, but we've just got a lot. There's just a lot in the pipeline. So I'm in that recruiting stage now. So, lucky me, I'm going to have about 20 people to deal with in the next next couple of months.
No,
wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck. Well, So I want to speak about specifically kids and probably teens as well. I'd like to hear how you got into that, Manny, and maybe even start from the start. Maybe even where did you kind of start in the industry? What was the first one of those services you brought on? What was the next one, and where did kind of kids and teens feeling? Kind of tell us that story.
Okay, so if my memory serves me correctly, because I've got two little kids that like to have dance parties every night. So we started about 15, I started about 15 years ago, thereabouts. And for me, I started out as a outdoor trainer, started with group training. So outdoor boot camps when it was a thing. Actually, I should say I started out in a commercial gym. Then when I started working for myself, that turned into outdoor boot camps. That's when it like was a thing in Sydney or Australia. So we started running those for a while. And when I say we, it's because I'm always like, I always consider working as a team. I don't have a thing where I don't keep saying like I did it, I did it. So we always did it as a collective. So outdoor boot camps, and then from outdoor boot camps that progressed into that eventuated into a studio in Greystanes. And I'm just trying to give you the shortest version of this. I basically moved into a studio, and then that studio expanded. So I took over several shops based on like where it's located. It's like a string of shops. So eventually took over multiple shops there and rebranded it, because I actually started as a ladies only boot camp.
Okay.
And then now it's a unisex gym. From there, I started adding on as I went along. So the first thing I started was adult group training. That was the easiest for me.
What
That was the
well,
easiest sort of
let
point
me get
to
my head around
start.
this. You're running an outdoor boot camp, then you moved
Yep.
personal training studio. That was just one-on-one
Yep.
originally, was it? There was no group.
No, the studio was actually, so I started off with outdoor boot camps, but when I opened up the studio, that studio was a semi-private. I actually had a different business model for the studio. So I was still running the boot camps
Gotcha.
outdoors. I had several locations across Sydney,
I'm with you.
but then I wanted to consolidate it. I just didn't like driving around and getting equipment in and out. And I'm sure that a few people can relate to that, but it gets a bit much after a while, depending on how many locations you have to drive to. So once I consolidated that, I had the semi-private studio up and running. And then eventually, to finally consolidate all of that, I started adding group training to the studio, but hit a ceiling very quickly because it wasn't a great big space. But over time, the other shops became available, so then I just expanded across those and started adding more services, and then eventually the kids boot camp, the teens program started to tack on.
Okay, tell us about that. So now you're in the studio, you're doing semi-private, probably doing some one-on-one, maybe some gym access, you're doing the adult group stuff. What made you want to bring on the kids? And was it kids or teens first or same time?
That's a good question. I think I started with kids first.
Gotcha. And we're talking what prime when we say kids primary school, 6 to 12 kind of thing. What are
Yeah,
your
yeah, yeah, yeah. About 6 to 12. Yeah, maybe even a little bit. Yeah, 5 to 12, 5 to 11, around that age sort of bracket. Yeah, depending on the 12-year-olds.
what made you want to do it?
I think there may have been demand for it. It was a while ago. Like, I didn't start doing it long. Like, it was, I think we've been doing it for almost 10 years, a kids'
Oh, you've
boot
been doing the
camp.
kids?
So,
You must have been the first one in the world. It wouldn't have been many. wouldn't have been
I'm
many
not
boot
sure.
camps 10 years ago, right?
I was in my own bubble, so I'm not sure. I just started running. I was training a lot of mums, so they would always bring it up. That's like, the way my services have sort of changed or evolved over time is really just based on member feedback. So if you get enough feedback, then you start to see that there's some gaps. There might be some gaps there in the market. On top of it, obviously you do your market research as well, but that's the first sort of point of like gets onto your radar. So the mums needed something for the kids. It might have even started as a school holiday program, to be honest. So parents are always looking for things to do for their kids. And we started with full day programs.
Oh, wow.
So we'd actually, yeah, we'd actually, we'd actually be, look, I don't think I'd do that again. But look, just based on my model now, like, it wouldn't be feasible for me to do that now. But it did work really well. Having a full day, even a half day program would suffice. We started with full day programs, school holiday programs.
Gotcha. And now it's more classes, is it, for the kids?
We for the kids specifically, we just run it over the school term. So 10-week blocks.
And it's like, is it kind of like a boot camp where they say, hey, I'm coming in for one day a week or 2 days a week, or is it a membership where they just pay a membership and they can come as many times as they want? What does it kind of look like for the kids?
So with us, like, we and there's no right or wrong with this. I think both approaches work, but for us, we just run it as a block. So once we're ready to start the term, it includes we have 2 days a week that we offer it,
Gotcha.
and the parents are essentially enrolling their kids into the block. So whether they come once or twice, it's part of the same block.
Yeah. Gotcha. Can you are you comfortable mentioning prices? Kind of say, hey, it's X amount for a block.
So we charge $250 for the block.
Gotcha. And the kids will get two sessions a week for 10 weeks, kind of
Two
thing.
sessions a week for 10 weeks, correct.
Gotcha. Awesome. Awesome. Any
Also, yeah.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, I could sort of we could probably go through a couple tips at the end, but
No,
yeah, I
go
was
on.
just gonna
Yeah.
mention that we're active kids.
Active kids.
We're active kids providers as well, so that helps a lot. So if you are training kids and things, like that has definitely helped draw more interest and make a lot like it makes it affordable for the kids. But if you think about it, parents spend way more money on other types of, like sports and
Martial arts,
hobbies and things
that
like
sort
that
of.
for kids, martial arts and all that kind of thing. So it's a I think it's a fair price point, and we haven't really had any pushback. Like, and the price has actually changed over years, actually increased over time. So
Well, I'll tell you those numbers off the top of my head. So with my kids, gymnastics, 25 a week for one session a week, right? Martial arts, $50 a week for two sessions a week. Swimming, $50 a week, two sessions a week. So it's give or take. Where this is kind of around the Marrickville kind of area. It's give or take about 25 for one session a week. So I think yeah, that's quite an affordable rate there. Times, every single one of our activities is 4 p.m. Is that the time you run your kids' ones?
We are 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
So we found that it gives parents just that little bit extra time after school to get the kids sorted, whatever,
Yeah,
homework or
oh, we're a rush. We're a
after
rush
school.
over here.
Ideally, I'd love to move it to 4 p.m. I think we'll see how we go over time, but at the moment we're set up 4:30.
Nice. All right. In terms of activities, is it body weight? Is it games? Is it sports? Do you get weights in there? What kind of stuff do you do with the kids?
Yeah, look, it's all of the above. So it's we try to mix it up with the kids throughout the term. So fitness games, obviously, because especially with young kids, keeping their attention is part of the challenge. So it does. I find that fitness games are the most engaging, and we also do. Look, a lot of the exercise that you do with adults, a lot of things you can still they still translate well with kids. Like, especially if we're talking like body weight movements. Even if you're using very light resistance, there doesn't have to be a massive like. There's not. It's not like
Kids exercise.
some out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to overcomplicate it, but it has to be engaging and it has to be kind of. You have to keep it moving along, but yeah, we do a whole mix. So between body weight, resistance training, fitness games, throw a bit of tug of war in there and things like that. Like the kids love it. A bit of boxing.
The resistance, dumbbells, med balls, kettlebells, machines, all of the above, what do you?
Dumbbells are fine. We've got like little like these kids weighted bars that we use as well. But kettlebells, I'm kind of like, I feel like it's a bit hit and miss with kettlebells because it depends on the kids you're working with, how young they are. So obviously the older they are in that bracket, they're more comfortable, their coordination and motor skills are a lot better. So I guess you got to kind of be very selective about when to use the kettlebells. Like for example, like I probably I encourage my trainers to like I'd stay away from maybe kettlebell swings for certain age groups just because the kid it's just their motor skills are not there quite there yet. So
Yeah, well, that's yeah. So I've done a bit of research recently on like resistance trainings and kids, and obviously massive benefits. the dangerous
Yeah.
thing is if the kid can't do it correctly. Like, because there's
Yeah.
obviously history of injuries, but it's not necessarily injuries from kids doing resistance training. It's injuries from kids doing resistance training incorrectly. So,
Correctly. Yeah. So you don't have to throw all the weights out once the kids arrive. Like it's not something to be afraid to use with the kids.
Awesome. All right. Marketing. Now, it's a couple things. I'm guessing from your end, a lot of it's probably just internal. You got 200 members, you got 300 members. They know you run kids' classes. They're going to run kids' classes. But tell us about your marketing. How do you kind, is it just internal members? Are you the only kids' fitness thing in town? So someone Googles you, that the only one. How does the marketing kind of work?
Yeah, so with the marketing, like to be honest, we don't push the marketing hard on the kids' boot camp. It's become almost like an ancillary service. We haven't It's not like a main it's not like a key service that we run. So
It's like your upsell, right? It's kind of like you sign the adults up. Oh, you got kids? Oh, I can do
it's like
this.
it's almost like an up
It's
it's
your
almost
prize.
like an
It's your
upsell,
prize at
but
McDonald's, right?
but look, I love like we love training the kids. Like they're you know they're it's for a number of reasons. It's great training the kids. But in terms of marketing, we do occasionally do some online marketing. SEO is pretty much dialed in. So I'm very big on SEO. I haven't really ran any Google ads for Kids Bootcamp. I might do that in the future. I might revisit that. Facebook ads I find is quite effective just because of our age demographic. We spend more time on Facebook than the other platforms. So most of us are parents, and we're gonna be the first to see those kind of ads. So it's just my opinion. There could be other ways that are more effective, but I just found that, Facebook is quite effective for that and Instagram. And obviously internally, so everyone kind of knows. And obviously every year, there's kids can say, let's say we've got a member that enrolls their kid from, say, age six. Well, we've still got another, 5, 6 years with those kids. So we don't need to keep re-advertising. Those parents already know.
And they might have another
So,
kid, right? It's kind of like they got a kid that's four, okay, a couple years time, they're
multiple
six, let's
kids.
bring them on.
Correct. Correct. And we've got kids that have started with us from Kids Boot Camp and they're now training in the Adults Boot Camp.
That's great. That's a good marketing strategy for your adults, right? Get them in while they're kids. That's how the Commonwealth Bank, they got me on that Dolomite account, and now I've got mortgages with them. And
Indoctrination.
exactly.
Me too. Yeah, they got me too. So yeah, that's we just use the CBA strategy.
All right. Now the teenagers. Same questions, teenagers. What kind of ages you're looking at there? Is that what, 13, 15?
So
When do they call?
yeah, so
Yep, you go.
yeah, so th so generally like 13 to 16,
When can
we'll have
they
some 12-year-olds that are coming.
when do they kind of transition to the adult? Like, I guess you wouldn't kick them out, like, because there's 16, I'm sure you got 16, 17-year-olds using your gym, right, as members. But they could, I guess it's a different demographic. But anyway, sorry, continue. So 13 to 17.
So how it works is so usually when they hit 17, they will then sort of transition into the adult boot camps or the adult group training programs, or they might want to just start using the gym on their own. 12-year-old, we do have some 12-year-olds that do the teens program because they're kind of at that age where you've got some that are more mature than others. So the so it's they just sort of transition. It's a pretty smooth transition for them. But we're also mindful of the 12 and 13-year-olds that are doing the teens boot camp because, as like every year there's a massive change in development for teenagers. So you have to be mindful of that too when training them. What was the other question about?
Maybe
Was
activities?
it?
No, is it, I guess, what's the, you mentioned kind of with the kids, it's more games focused, that kind of thing. With the teenagers, still games, or is it
T
much
teen
the adult, or?
teenagers not as many games, but like to be honest, they also love games. And you know what? Adults love games too. So it's not one of those things where you have to stop doing. But the for our teens, we definitely train them more closely to our adult programs. because they're getting to that age where, especially a lot of teenagers and especially a lot of young teenage boys, once they turn 16, 17, most of them want to just start training with their mates at the gym. So, as a parent, you want to be confident and reassured knowing that they know what they're doing when they get to the gym. When they get to that point where they start throwing weights around, they're not going to, bust their back, bust their knees, et cetera. So, we train them, we go through all of that with them throughout their program. So it's not just conditioning. We do a lot of strength training, but also we get them actually in the gym as well and teach them how to use the equipment in the gym.
That's great.
And they love that.
Okay, logistics. Is that also a 4:30 time? Is that later? Is it same kind of system? You do school blocks? How does that work?
Teams, we run it all year long.
Okay.
So it starts after the kids' boot camp. So we usually start about 5 p.m. for the teams, and that's just like the adults. We just run that all year long. But what as I just remembered, with the kids, I mean, you can run that as a program that runs all year long as well. Like, it doesn't have to be during the school term. We just do that because we've got so much going on that it kind of sometimes we just need that 2 week break. So we can just use that extra time for other things, and but yeah, there's no reason why you can't do that with kids as well.
Gotcha. Pricing for teens, is it same as the adult membership? A bit cheaper, a bit more? What does that look like?
Yeah, a little bit cheaper. So it works out to be, so say over a 12 week block, it's about 350 over a 12 week block, and then once they reach that 12 week block, I mean, they can just continue on month to month if they want to do it that way.
Awesome.
And that's 2 sessions a week.
Awesome. Cool. In terms of numbers in the actual class, probably two questions here. A, what's an average number you get, both for the kids and for the adults? And then C, do you max it out? Like, adults, you can probably run 30, 40 of them if you really wanted to, but I'm guessing 30, 40 kids, might not work. So what can you tell us about numbers?
Look, numbers, it just depends on how hard we push it. During enrollment. So it varies from term to term. You might have a small group, so you might have less than 10, but then we'll cap it at 20 kids. So some terms might be fuller. And if we do have 20 kids, then we usually we'll get another trainer to assist once the group gets a little bit too big. Like, I even feel like with kids, once you get past 10, it's good that, like, we always have multiple trainers on site. So we're good either way if someone does. Like, if we do have bigger numbers, then we've got to always have another trainer available anyway. But yeah, like, I would say on average, like, you could be looking at, depending on the term again, average numbers probably like 10 to 15. If you do want to like really push it, you can push it. Like, you can get bigger numbers than that. Don't get me wrong. You get probably 30, 40 kids if you want to. And I know people that do like run some massive programs. But that for us, like I said, it's more just like a service of sort of tacked on.
Yeah,
It's
this
not
is
something that
amazing.
we drive. And even if we have smaller numbers, even if let's say we have a quiet term, one term, and it happens, like, you might have only, five, six kids in the program. We'll just run it anyway. They're half an hour sessions, and just for the sake of consistency, we'll keep it running.
Awesome. All right. In terms of tips, probably both ways here. Firstly, if there's a trainer watching this or listening to this that just wants to train kids, so not necessarily run a do the whole business thing. It's just like, right, they want to be a kids trainer. Who do you think should do it, and who do you think definitely shouldn't do it?
So there's two ways I want to kind of answer that. So in terms of like who should do it, who shouldn't do it, obviously if you love training kids, if you love training kids and you have the patience, you have the patience, that's a key characteristic you need to have. Look, training kids is great, but you need to be patient with them. Then definitely, like, go for it. You also need to be like aware of their kind of development as well. So if you've just started out as a trainer, I probably wouldn't jump straight into training kids straight away. As in, if you just got certified, I'd probably give a little bit more time. Once you get a little bit more of a better understanding about biomechanics and just overall, like, how people's development changes over the years and how that affects their training, their physiological changes and things like that. Like once you get a little bit more experienced and confident around that, then go for it. Start to, engage kids or engage parents and start your kids' programs. But yeah, if you're fresh out of the gate, I'd probably just work with adults, the general population, initially. Maybe go do some work experience with people that train kids, and then you should be fine. The second thing I was going to say was, there is a big market there. Whether you want to do groups, maybe you just want to do personal training for kids. There are a lot of parents out there that want their kids. Like we do personal training with kids as well. I forgot to mention that, but that's a big market there. There's a big gap there, so that could be somewhere where you might prefer to start. If you don't want to do groups straight away, you don't have the confidence to take the groups, start with one-on-one training. Just offer it to parents and just put the bait out. But that's another big gap in the market, I believe.
That's great. And I think I'd also add to that as well, just while we're on this, let's say you're a one-on-one personal trainer at the moment. Yes, do a one-on-one with kids first, but also do groups with adults, Don't go straight from one-on-one personal trainer to group with kids. So that way, when you go to those group to kids, great, you've got your experience one-on-one adults, you've got your experience group adults, you've got your experience one-on-one kids, then it kind of fits that gap there. All right, similar question in regards to business money. So let's say someone's like yourself, they're either running a studio, maybe a boot camp, doing all adult stuff at the moment, and they're like, you know what? I wouldn't mind running the kids 4 p.m. or 4:30 a couple times a week. Who do you reckon should do it from a business side of things, and who do you think should steer away from it from a business side of things?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Good question. I think if you've got the facility, you've got the resources, you've got the team, then, and obviously if you've got the space available for that in terms of like that, like we were saying before, like parents, like kids programs start from 4 p.m., anywhere from 4 to 5 p.m. If you need to fill that time, you're there anyway, you need to fill that time slot, then why not? Maybe that could be an opportunity there for you. And just make sure, yeah, you do have the resources available to take it and commit to it. Because I also love training the kids because it's actually a gift for them because now you're getting them ready as they get older, you're giving them more confidence. It's obviously all the benefits they get from exercise in general. You're also giving them a lot of self-confidence. Like offering those kids programs, you're doing a massive service to society as well. Like you're helping kids as well. So if that's something that's, I don't know, if that's, if you care about that, or if that interests you, then definitely consider that. Otherwise, I think most, that if as long as you got that gap there and you got the space available, you should be okay.
Say boot camp. Let's say, for example, someone's running a boot camp, adult boot camp. Let's say it starts, I don't know, let's call it 6 p.m. And they want to run, a 4:30 kid. Like, do you reckon that work? Like, and say you're doing it outdoor at the park. Let's say you're outdoors at the park. It's your space from 6 to 7 or whatever your time is. Is it worth tacking on the kids one a couple hours earlier? Or what's your take there?
Well, it depends on your what your model is. So the way I see it is this: if you want to run kids boot camp say at 4 p.m. and you're not going to run adults boot camp until 6 p.m., well, what does that mean for you in between? Are you just going to sit on your ass for an hour and a half, or are you going to use that as an opportunity to start generating more business, like be productive during that time? So either way, I'm not I don't know if we got, I don't want to go off too much of a tangent, but this like whole, you know, 4 hour work week, this situation where you only work a few hours a day, like I don't believe in that. I don't think you're really going to get anywhere doing that. Like you're going to be all in if you want to be successful. So maybe if you set aside a block, you say from maybe, you know, 3 to 8 p.m., this is what I'm dedicating to building my business. So whether I'm running sessions or there's empty slots, busy slot, doesn't matter. I'm committing to this time to building my business. So it doesn't matter if you've got an hour and a half gap. Just use that time to generate more business.
Awesome. Love it. All right. Well, Manny, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover. There's a couple of questions I'd just like to finish off with on all these podcasts. The first one is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to get fitter, plenty of kids out there that want to get healthier, plenty of trainers out there as well. I'd love to know who your biggest mentors have been. And if you answer this in a few different ways, if you could share like a paid mentor to someone that you've paid money to, you've done their course, their coaching program that helped you with your business or your life, unpaid mentor, so someone that you haven't paid, but you follow them on Instagram, you listen to their podcast, whatever it may be, and a book that you recommend every personal trainer should read if they want to be successful at business. So mentors, paid, unpaid, book.
Okay. Mentors, I've worked with a lot of mentors, paid mentors over the past, and I've gained something from all of them. I would say the most recent one that I've worked with was Dan Henderson. I'm sure you know Dan. You've heard of, so I've worked with Dan in the past, and he's great. In terms of unpaid mentor, I would say there's actually two of them. So I also work with Dane McDonald from Clean Health. He's for me like an unpaid mentor. That guy just has a wealth of knowledge, like absolute genius, absolute pioneer of the industry. Also have a good mate of mine, Costa Drack from Melbourne. So he's a popular trainer out in Melbourne. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a good mate of mine. But
connected with him on Facebook.
Nice. That guy's an absolute sales savage. So if you want to learn about sales, you go to that guy. So in some ways, I kind of see him as, make sure you reach out to him. We're good mates, best mates, but in some ways I see him also as a bit of a mentor for certain, you know, aspects of the business. He's helped me a ton. And in terms of books, you know, I just read I read a book recently, which I think would have served me really well had I read it from the beginning, but yeah, I think he only just published it like a few years ago. It's from Patrick Bet David, and it's called
5 Moves Ahead, something like that.
Your next Five Moves Ahead.
Yeah.
The next 5 moves. Yeah, the next 5 moves. That's the one. Yeah. So I finished reading that probably a few months ago, but that I feel like that's a really good book to get started with, because it does one key thing that I really love out of it is that you have to, at the end of the day, like if things go wrong, pear shape, you've got to blame yourself. You can't pass the buck onto anyone else. You're responsible for your actions or your decisions and all the, anything sort of good or bad that happens. You need to, at some capacity, take responsibility for it. And that'll definitely help you push things along, because now you're going to start being more proactive about how you approach your business and personal life.
100%. I'm a fan of Patrick, as you can tell. Knew the book off the top. I like the concept, Next 5 Moves. And 100%. I love the accountability, responsibility, because I think that's a very interesting topic. That's kind of how I was able to change my life around. You know, I went from kind of blaming everybody else to being like, right, you know, this is my responsibility. I've got to do it. And, you know, business transformed, life transformed, it was great. And I'd, you know, try to pass that message on to other people. And a lot of people just wouldn't kind of buy into it. You know, they'd be like, it's my fault, this person's fault. But then I heard, you know who Alex Hormozi is, obviously.
Yeah.
I heard him speaking about it. And he's got a slightly different take, but I like the way he does it. He's like, look, if you want to be successful, you need to take responsibility and accountability, even if it's not your fault, right? It might not be your fault. But by you blaming somebody else, even if it is that person's fault, it's not going to help you along. So even if you're technically wrong by taking accountability for yourself, that's what's going to push you forward. And I'm like, I like that. You know, I don't need to win the argument and say, oh, it's your fault, it's not that person's fault. I can say, hey, do
yeah.
it if you want, but if you do this one here, you're going to get ahead. If you blame that person there, it could be right, but you're going to fall behind. So love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. All right, Manny. Well, if someone's listening to this, they're like, all right, this guy's cool. I want to follow him. I want to follow his business. Where's the best place we go to follow you?
So you can catch me on Instagram. I've got a couple accounts, but because I actually don't use Instagram as much as I probably should. For my business, yes, we use it. For my personal, not so much, but you can still contact me on that. So it's Manny Laris. I think it's Manny Laris underscore online coach. I've got that correct. But I'm sure if you type in Manny Laris, it'll come up.
I think I've got it here. Let me have a look. Manny Laris underscore online coach. Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. All right. Well, Manny, that's pretty much all I wanted to get through today. Anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
Look, I think based on the topics that we, I guess, wanted to cover today, I think we've covered most of it. I mean, if anyone does have any questions, they can just reach out. And, you know, just any sort of last thoughts or tips for trainers out there, just keep upskilling, keep educating yourself, you know, keep sharpening your sword, and just keep hustling and take responsibility for everything.
Love it. Awesome. All right, Manny, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jono.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, or you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.